This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Raptors in action down in Miami tonight, but Kyle Lowry will not play. So he's not going for the Miami Heat tonight. Bobby Marks will join us of ESPN in about 5 minutes, tee that up, get his take on Kevin Durant's injury. Rumors around the league, James Harden maybe wants out of Brooklyn.
What?
At the end of the season, yeah, or he would be open to a change of scenery.
Oh, come on, dude. I don't get that one, Hazy. Like, I know there's movement and what is it? Let me guess. Too much talk about Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and he feels like he's the odd man out.
That could be it, although that's
really
strange.
The last 4 months, how many times you heard that guy's name?
And I think that's in large part because he hasn't played well. You know, I wonder if it's that he and Steve Nash, like, he's not comfortable being a second fiddle or a third fiddle. You know, like, that's what he was to start his career when he was down in Oklahoma City. He was behind Russ. He was behind KD. He had to get out. But when he got to Houston, he was the man, right? He became a Hall of Famer in Houston, won an MVP in Houston.
Beyond the man. It was like, you take it and shoot it every time.
Absolutely. Everything went through him. He was putting up, like, record volumes of shots. And he had the green light whenever he had the ball. Like, he could shoot from anywhere, and he created a shot. Like, he's a great player. He's a great scorer. He's one of the greatest pure scorers in NBA history. And I just wonder if now that he's back in Brooklyn and he realizes it's all about Kevin Durant and Brooklyn basically saying, listen, we need Kyrie. That was another way of them suggesting they don't feel like he's pulling his weight or they're not drawing up the same plays that he was getting drawn up in Houston. And maybe he wants to get back into that situation. I don't know. I don't know what he's got left. And it doesn't mean that Brooklyn's definitely going to move on him, but that's out. There was a weird weekend in the NBA. LeBron jumps on Twitter and apologizes to Laker fans because of the way they're playing. They got roasted the other night, on Saturday night, I think it was, in Denver. Maybe it was last night. Like, it was ugly. They lost by, like, 35, 40. So the Lakers are not in a good spot. So Bobby Marks will join us, and we'll get into all that with him.
Golden State sucks right now. They've lost like 5 of 6.
There's weird ups and downs in the NBA. And that's where, like, if you're the Raptors, you're just right in the middle of things where I don't think you're a top 5 team in the East. But then there's the team starting at Atlanta down to Indiana and Orlando and Detroit are so bad, they're so gone. You know, so right now you look at the NBA standings and the battle in the East. One of these teams is going to miss. You're battling with Charlotte, Washington, Boston, New York. Like, those are the teams battling it out, and the Raptors are right in the thick of it. You know, I feel good about them being at least a wild card team or in that play-in tournament, and that's what they should be fighting for. Get in, gain some experience, maybe a winner, a game or two, get into the real stuff, play a best of 7, grow on this season and keep moving. And without Kyle Lowry going tonight, it looks like Bam will be back for the Heat. He's warming up, and the intention is for him to play. That's a big addition for Miami, and Miami's a really good team. But the Raptors have been slaying some monsters. Like, they're not shy. They went into Milwaukee and got a big win. And they're not shy to play the big boys and play them tough. So I expect a good effort out of the Raptors tonight. So we'll get to that with Bobby in a moment. Al's brother, in about 25 minutes, the pick is officially locked in. It got locked in on Friday. It's a little bit shady, if you ask me, because usually the Monday nighter.
You make the pick
on the Monday, and the line's moved.
I don't know what it's like. Sometimes when you get in on a line, that's what the deal is. You don't just. I don't know. I don't feel.
No,
sorry.
I'm not asking for movement. I'm not going down that road because I don't need to open up a door where shadiness comes into play here. And I'm struggling though. Like I am not seeing the board well here, and I don't love being on the Rams, and the number moving towards Arizona would suggest there's a lot of money coming in on the Cardinals, and a lot more people are thinking maybe that line was too big, including Vegas. So we'll see what Al's brother's saying. But Al's brother, the text chain this weekend, so obnoxious.
Obnoxious.
Like so obnoxious.
He comes off the top rope where it's like a good play. It'll be like tremendous information. My favorite is, I told you about this guy.
I know.
And he just goes on and on. He just, I don't know. If it was big money, you would borderline want to go to his house and sucker the guy with
snap.
The comments.
Oh, you'd snap. I was losing. And just the little shady kind of condescending comments when your bet is going south. Like, you know, he'll throw an emoji up that you don't want to see. And that's him in the text chain. So he'll join us in about 20 minutes, get his take on the game tonight, what he saw over the course of the weekend. Back into the Leafs as well a little bit later on. And the Raptors are down in Miami tonight. Kyle Lowry will not play for personal reasons, which is selfishly disappointing. I was looking forward to seeing him play the Raptors. I was looking forward to seeing Van Vliet go up against Kyle. But the Raptors are coming off a big redemption win on Saturday after they lost again in Detroit. And to chat about where the Raptors are at, amongst some other big storylines around the NBA, we're joined now by ESPN NBA front office insider. Here is Bobby Marks. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. You know, feeling pretty good about where the Raptors are at. I think, you know, a couple games over 500 is a win for them, considering the way they're built and what they're hopefully building towards. Big test with Miami going tonight. Where do the Heat rank for you in terms of, you know, Eastern Conference contenders and the likelihood of seeing them in an NBA final?
Well, when we did our predictions before the season, I had them getting to an NBA Finals and winning it all.
There you go.
That's how and it's not because I live in South Florida. But I just thought with, you know, certainly with the addition of Kyle and then, you know, you had Jimmy Butler already and Bam Adebayo, my big question for them was going to be what their bench was going to look like. As far as would Tyler Hero kind of revert back to the player from his rookie year, and they had a bunch of guys on, you know, minimum contracts that nobody ever heard of. And could those young players, Omer Yurtseven, no one ever heard of him, but I think guy's averaging like 18 and 12 in his last, I think, 10 games here. And, you know, I think they get Bam back out of bio tonight. And so I have them up there, you know, certainly, you know, Brooklyn and certainly Milwaukee, and we'll see with Chicago. I mean, I just said about 10 minutes ago, I mean, there's so much parity in this league right now. I mean, it's wide open, I think, because Toronto certainly is a great story kind of where they are. Probably not in that next level where, you know, the big boys are, but, you know, something that you can root for, something that you can build on. I think they're going to be at least a play-in team at the minimum here. There's just a ton of parity right now.
Bobby, Kyle Lowry, I think my colleagues mentioned in our first hour of our show that he was at a football game yesterday, and now it's personal reasons. Like, is there some kind of goofy stuff going on where he's sloughing this game off, or what are we to read into this Kyle Lowry not playing against the Raps?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, if it is a personal reasons because he does not want to play against Toronto right now, and his first time against them is in, you know, in Canada. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, from an injury standpoint, he's fine. He played, you know, he played 34 minutes against Philly on Saturday night. I don't know what to read into it. You know, I certainly hasn't shot the ball well, but his assists are high. But I don't know what the personal reason is. But as you said, man, if you're at a football game, you should be good enough to play in an NBA game tonight.
Yeah, it's disappointing, selfishly, because he hasn't played against them. And we had Nick Nurse on a few days ago, and Nick was really amped up for the opportunity to see him and coach against him. And Fred VanVleet spent the better part of the weekend talking about it. And I'm not sure what the reasoning is, but you mentioned, you know, Lowry. Everything I read out of Miami, everything I see online, and I've seen a few of his games, he looks like vintage Kyle. I didn't expect him to miss a step. But to me, he's, you know, taking charges. He's leading by example. He looks like the missing piece in Miami. And it takes me back to the trade deadline last year, Bobby. I still can't figure out why a team wouldn't have paid that price to get him, because he looks great to me.
Well, I think if you're the Lakers, you're probably kicking yourself a little bit, right?
Right.
I mean, basically kind of what you could have traded him, you know, Talon Horton Tucker was kind of the big name that LA didn't want to part with, and you could have had Kyle, and you probably would never have done a Westbrook trade. And we know where this Laker team is right now. I mean, they're basically treading water. They get blown out against Denver. They've got Utah tonight. Have not played well at all. And I thought a couple of weeks ago, I thought they'd be a top. I thought they would get into that sixth seed, just based on where Denver was and Dallas. But I mean, if Denver gets Murray and Porter Jr. back, I think they'll be the sixth seed, and then the Lakers are one. I mean, Lakers, Clippers, you know, those are teams that are going to be fighting in just to get into the playoffs.
Right.
You mentioned the Lakers there. How does LeBron kind of issues the apology? They're not very good. Like, how does he either gut this out or separate himself from the noise and not be associated with it? It just seems like LeBron, it's like finals every year, competing for an MVP. This has kind of not been in the wheelhouse for quite some time. How does this end up playing out?
Well, hopefully they get Anthony Davis back in the next couple of weeks, and we see the Anthony Davis from you know, a couple of years ago. He wasn't not very good in the first, you know, before he got injured, and that's kind of how it sorts itself out. But I just, you know, it's like everybody's waiting for them to make a big trade. You know, they lose to Denver the other night, and I see everyone is saying, well, they need to make a trade. And I'm thinking, like, well, who the heck's getting traded here, right? Like, Westbrook has no trade value unless all of a sudden, you know, Houston wants him for John Wall and they can get something else back. And I don't know how much John Wall helps them. And you look at the rest of the roster here, you don't have anything to trade unless you open up a roster spot and you can sign a free agent that's out there. And I don't know how this turns around. I don't know. You know, LeBron has been great, right? But this is the roster that he picked. When you make it a Westbrook trade and you get rid of three or four players, now you are top heavy and you're relying on these guys who are playing for, you know, the veteran exception.
With Bobby Marks of ESPN, Brooklyn is going through it now. Kevin Durant's going to be out for an extended period of time. We know that Kyrie's in and out of the lineup, and now there are reports, or quote-unquote noise is starting to circulate, that James Harden might be open to relocation. Why would you think Harden would be uncomfortable or uneasy with his position in Brooklyn? Like, well, it hasn't gone well for him. He's not playing that well. But if this is true, what do you think would be driving this from Harden's perspective?
I don't know. I mean, he hasn't been good at all. I mean, even today against Cleveland, you felt more comfortable with Kyrie with the ball in his hands at the end of the game. And Harden basically tried to, you know, had a really bad turnover here. I think he's a step slow. I mean, he's eligible for $270 million. So that's a decision that Brooklyn, I don't see anything, you know, by the 10th, which is a trade deadline. I think Brooklyn, the Nets ride out with these three guys when Durant comes back and tries to win it all. And we see what happens in the offseason. There's no teams that have cap space that would fit what Harden's looking for as far as a championship. Whether you look at teams like Orlando and San Antonio and Detroit. So if he wants out, you know, then it's basically the Nets control as far as where he goes, you know. And I think it will be interesting as far as what happens in Philly with Simmons. That's, you know, kind of the thing we'll all keep an eye on by the 10th. If he's not dealt by the 10th, does that make sense for Brooklyn if a guy does not want to return? And it might be a blessing for Brooklyn because I said, like, 270 for him might be probably be the worst contracts in the NBA just based on how he's played at times this year.
Well, exactly. At 32 years old, too, right? He'll be 33 to kick off that contract.
Yeah.
That is a massive, massive gamble. And, like, what are you really hoping for? Maybe a year or two where you're still in contention with KD and Kyrie. But to your point, Bobby, you know the back end of that thing's just going to move around the NBA. It's just going to be a poisonous pill.
Hayes, who let that information, did Harden get that information out?
It's just one of those reports that it's circulating. So, I mean, Bobby would know how this works better than me. I don't know if it's Harden directly.
I think some of it has to do with certainly there's a relationship with Daryl Morey and everything. If Simmons isn't traded by February 10th, then I'd be surprised if he's traded. Then we're going to be playing the guessing game as far as, you know, certainly there's a relationship already. Harden could be a free agent, could opt in, could be traded. So there's all, and he could be the guy that they're looking for, right? That top 25 player that they've basically have circled. So, as I said, like, you know, it could be a blessing because, you know, we get in this bad habit where when we sign players to these extensions, we're paying for what they did in the past and not kind of what the future is going to be.
Yep. Absolutely. That can be very, very dangerous. I mean, the Nets, they went through it 7-8 years ago with KG and Paul Pierce.
Oh, I was there.
You were there, Bobby.
I always tell the funny story. The first day of training camp, when in 13, I called my wife and told her to put our house on the market because I said, this is not going to end well here when our second unit was kicking our first unit's butt.
Yeah, that was an issue, and it took a while, but eventually everything turned around, and I guess they're clearly in a better spot now. But yeah, that one stunk for us because you got us that first year the Raptors made the playoffs, and remember
well,
that inbound.
God, I would have probably been fired right after Game 7. So you eventually got your championship, but we needed that one just to get out of the first round. There.
Absolutely, yeah. And Lowry, if he gets that shot off, man, in the lane, and it goes, that's a completely different story, completely different history. Clearly, great catching up with you, Bobby. As always, we appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
There's Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. Yeah, I don't know how you give James Harden $270 million over, a four-year deal, five-year deal.
Jesus.
I just don't see. I mean, he has not been very good this year. He has not been very good.
He's not one of those guys. The bottom line, Hayes, and I can relate to it, if you're not LeBron in the gym kind of maniacal about taking care of yourself, the wheels can fall off. And mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how good you can shoot the ball. It doesn't matter about your handles. You're just – you got to be in tip-top shape to be a top player in that league, dude.
Yep.
And if you – we've seen the picks. We kind of all know how he goes about it. And that's going to catch up with him, and big time.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think eventually it's going to get to a point where it looks really ugly. And yet, because of his name and because of what he represents, someone will give it to him. Someone will pay him. I don't know if it'll be in Brooklyn. I'm not sure it'll be in Philly if that deal goes down.
Oh yeah, he'll stop having the choice. Like his ability to pick and choose will stop, and then it'll be like somebody will pop their head out of the sand and be like, "Ah, we'll give you that. Come here."
We
and
he can won't grab
like
him.
It. Yeah, yep. And he'll be like, "Okay, I'll go for the money," and he'll be a complete disaster.
Exactly, a team that's just middle of the road, not a big market, doesn't get a ton of love. And the owner will get involved and say, we can have James Harden. Think about how many jerseys we can sell and how much buzz.
The Memphis Grizzlies might be like, this guy can put us over the top.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Great name to bring here. Who knows?
We'll see. Your boy Mark Davis out in Vegas firing their GM, Mike Mayock. So Mayock is out, the Vegas Raiders GM. And as many people are pointing out, not a good sign for Rich Bisaccia, who I think did a very admirable job. Like, I can't speak to the X's
no
and
kidding.
O's, but that was a mess in Vegas when Gruden got out.
What about the off-ice problems and issues and deaths and arresting? And it was insane.
Great. I couldn't believe it. They made the playoffs. Like,
I
had written Vegas off completely. Remember they went to Kansas City and got crushed? I was like, that's it. They're done. And they battled, and they had a chance to win that ball game on Saturday. They were right there. Any form of red zone offense that was efficient by the Raiders, they at least push it to overtime, if not win that game. And Mike Mayock is out. Now, Mayock has missed on a few big bullets in the first round building that team. He's taken a couple of really bad busts, like guys with really bad reputations in terms of off-the-field stuff that have burned him. So I'm not that surprised Mayock is out, but Bisaccia, I think, has done a good job, and I'm thinking he probably goes next. So probably complete turnover in Vegas. And I think John Gruden, he's obviously out. We'll see what happens with him in that lawsuit. He's still trying to fight back some of that money and suing the NFL, and that gong show will more than likely continue. Al's brother is waiting patiently because – he went 2-1 with his picks. You and Team Al Dog, 2-1. The only thing you missed was you were on the Pats +4 on Saturday night. That came to an end about 5 minutes into the game. But I'm 0-2, and I need a win tonight, and the line is not moving in my direction. It's not moving in my favor. I'm on the Rams -4. It's been bet down to Rams -3. So I'm giving up a point because of time, because we did these picks on Friday. So we'll get his take on the games, what he expects tonight. The weather down in Niagara looks pretty ugly, man. All over southern Ontario. Like, I guess we're all in this together outside of Windsor.
Dude, is it really that bad? Like, man, there's some stupid stuff going on.
This is
like,
bad. I will be the first one to admit we embellish on snowfall in southern Ontario and in Toronto. This one was crazy. This was a lot of snow.
Okay, I guess I'm only saying that because I only had to drive less than a kilometer to the grocery store down the street.
And you're in a condo. You're not out shoveling.
No, none of that. That's why, Like, I just stare out and I smile thinking of my car, like, beautiful in the underground
parking. I know, it's so gutless.
It is, and it's just, I don't know, you see the tweets. It's like, it's one day. It'll be the one, maybe we'll get another one, who knows, but I don't know.
I think the fact that they canceled all the schools is what also factored into it.
Oh, like, yeah, there are some parents that grabbed the Baileys this morning and absolutely dumped it into their coffee when they realized their kids weren't going to school.
Finally going back in person.
Oh, yeah.
And immediately, day one, they get locked out. Effectively, it gets closed because of the snow. And you have to believe they'll be back at it tomorrow. You would think the doors will be back open and the kids will be going. But, yeah, the snow, it's here now because we're middle of January. It's freezing. It's not like a warm spell is going to come and the sun's going to take this away.
No.
This snow is here now for a while. All right, Al's brother coming up. The Leafs are back in action on Wednesday night. Bunch of games going on in the NBA and in the NHL for Martin Luther King Day down in the States. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
The final answer is the first star, Al's brother.
Well, I have to believe it's a bit of a bittersweet afternoon for Al's brother for a couple of different reasons. One, on the positive side, picking winners all weekend, 2-for-1 in his picks. I was 0-for-2. But Al's brother, Kuiper Jr., has been owning the college scouting game for quite some time, and Mike Mayock may be back in the business in mowing your lawn, Al's brother. Are you concerned that Mayock may end up back at NFL Network and your analysis online will be pushed to the side, or –
you know what? It Mayock, to me, like, that guy's the GOAT. Like, there was nothing better than watching Mike Mayock break down tape. I loved watching the NFL Network's coverage of the draft every year and just listening to him and Daniel Jeremiah just sit there and break it all down. A lot of what I learn is, like, from those guys and the way that they watch tape, and it's that allowed me to learn. So, hell, heck no. I mean, I love Mayock, and it's unfortunate.
Dude, are you
didn't
acting
turn
like
out,
you're
but...
like on the same level as them or something? Or like, what the hell are you talking
No, not at all. I'm just saying, like, Mayock is a guy who I look up to in terms of being like a scout. You know, like, that's someone who did it for a living and got to be, you know, a general manager in the NFL. I mean, being a pro sports GM is one of those glamour jobs that almost every single kid has at one point. Did either of you two never grow up and say, I want to be a GM of an NHL team?
I actually thought I was going to play. I was like, I'm going to be a player in the NHL.
Yeah, I was thinking player first. That was my hope. But I hear what you're saying, Al's brother. I think as you get – it becomes more glamorous as you get older because you don't have to, like, physically be in shape.
I disagree, GM. Hayes.
Yeah, see, that's why
I think
why
it gets less glamorous right. Because you see the amount of people that, like this character you're talking about, get fired.
Yeah, but the money that comes with it, the prestige, the idea of playing, like, Al's brother and I are of the video game generation, where I'm sure Al's brother, how many times have you played franchise mode on Madden where you're drafting?
For hours.
Yeah, and you're drafting offensive linemen. Like, it's ridiculous, and I used to do it when I was in school all the time. I loved it. But that's what makes you think, okay, that's what I want to do. I love the draft, make trades. So, yeah, there's a downside because you get hired to get fired. But just being in the dance, getting to do it, making a bunch of money. And once you're in the fraternity, I mean, that's become clear in sports. Once you're in,
you're in
capacity. Our boy John Ferguson Jr. is still kicking around. Like, he got punted out of Toronto, 13 years ago?
Oh,
15
yeah.
years ago. And he's still in the game. So that's a big part of it. It's like a lifelong pass once you get to the top and be a GM, regardless of how bad it goes. Because Mayock missed on a lot of those first-rounders, Al's brother. Like,
he did.
He picked some awful players, like guys that he should not have been taking.
It's actually astonishing. We look at the past drafts and, like, how they were able to somehow make a playoff team out of this roster. It is somewhat astonishing. I mean, they drafted this kid, Cleveland Ferrell, out of – he was out of Clemson a couple of years ago with, like, the fourth pick. And it was just one of those picks where everybody was just scratching their head. Like, really? Like, this guy?
Reach.
He was supposed to go a little bit later, right? And then they pick him. He's like, yeah, he comes from a winning franchise. You know, it's a good school. He'll bring that winning pedigree here. Pretty sure the guy was sitting up in the press box as a healthy scratch, like, not during the game
quickly.
On the weekend. You know what I mean? So,
yeah
he hasn't been – funny enough, he's touted as a – a prospect and a draft guy, but his own drafts have not actually gone too well.
No,
I would pay
right
a
now.
Guy if I was running an organization like NHL, NFL, any league, I would pay the guy that if he could prove a couple years in a row that he gets the right guy. I guess it would probably take 2, 3, 4 years of him continually getting the right guy, and is in the hockey side of it, if he could, like a goaltender guru, go and pick them. Like, I would pay that guy zillions. He would be the highest paid guy on my staff.
That's the scout down in Tampa with the Lightning. I can't remember his name.
Al McNeil.
Al McNeil is famous for it. Like,
yes.
All he does is find superstar players anywhere in the draft.
He just gets the guy that hits Hayes. It's not like he necessarily will find a Pavel Datsyuk in the sixth round, but the guy that he selects is the right guy.
Right.
Well, I'm pretty sure
to me that's worth millions, man.
It is.
Yeah, like both Point and Cirelli are both third round picks, are they not?
Yep.
Like, they just find guys littered throughout the draft, and they just come up big. I mean, Palat was like a seventh round pick, but he's averaging like a point per game down in Tampa right now.
But even role guys, they got like that Joseph and the kid that scored the game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup.
Ross Colton.
It's just like, why aren't other teams getting that guy? And Carolina is kind of in a similar boat. It seems like they call up a young guy all the time, and immediately the guy's really good.
Yeah.
Scores goals, like contributes. It's like, God, I would pay out the ass for somebody to scout that and bring me that.
It's a well-oiled machine, and with the salary cap being what it is in both leagues, the NHL and the NFL, once you start to really pay the high-end guys, it's even more imperative that you find that young talent the next wave. And I mean, Tampa's a perfect example of that, where they're paying Vasilevsky, Kucherov, Hedman, Stamkos, Point. They got five guys making a good chunk of money. McDonough's making a good chunk of money, right? Like, these guys, Chernak's going to get paid. Sergachev's going to get paid. You better find your third pairing on the cheap. You better find two or three lines at the bottom end of your lineup on the cheap. And it can't just be the 38-year-old who shows up all the time. Like, Corey Perry's doing it, but you got to have the 20-year-old for free. You got to have that kid, too. And the Leafs are facing it. They're going to face it. You know, the Leafs have done a very good job of finding guys in Europe that have come over as free agents. And
yeah.
I think clearly this past offseason in the free agency pool, the Leafs did a really
good
job.
I don't think
give
him too many props on the Europe stuff. It seems like the guy comes in and plays seven games and then is either gone back to Europe or traded. I don't know.
Well, Mikheyev's one example.
Mikheyev, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Zaitsev's still in the league, and that contract is absolutely atrocious. But
you guys see Barabanov? Barabanov's doing over in San Jose. Guy's got like 20, 22 points on the year.
Never got a chance.
Playing with a guy that scored five goals today. I was just watching a little bit of it. He was on the six-goal watch. Timo Meier had five goals today for San Jose.
Yeah.
Five.
In the first two periods, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
a whole period to try to tie Sittler for six. That's outrageous.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's wild. But what about these NFL games? I mean, I feel like I'm being harmed here tonight because I had to make the Monday night pick on a Friday, and the line has moved. It was Rams -4 on Friday. Now it's Rams -3. There's clearly money coming in on Arizona, and I will admit I'm not seeing this game very well. I'm not seeing the board that well. I just don't like Matt Stafford. I don't trust Matt Stafford, but I also don't trust Cliff Kingsbury to realize that he's playing late in the season and he's actually supposed to win, because his stats would indicate this guy, 75% of the season, he loves it. The last 25%, he's an absolute disaster. And Kyler Murray on the road, albeit not a crazy atmosphere at SoFi tonight. You know the Rams aren't going to represent. The fans aren't going to show up. But I don't know what to make of this game tonight, Ellis, brother.
It's almost like what's that line that Pat Quinn always says? It's a
loser's race.
It's almost what it is, right? Cliffy Kingsbury and Matty Stafford, two guys who typically just can't get it done when the bright lights are on you. Like, I was taking a look a little bit deeper into the numbers just to see how I'm shaking here backing the Cardinals. And Matthew Stafford really struggles against winning teams. In his career, he is just 31% win rate against teams with a winning record. He's only won 26 games against teams who have a winning record. That is not very good. That means that this dude just can't get it done against good teams. He's beaten down some poor teams, and that's not really what the Cardinals are. They're a good squad. And the Cards this season, you look at them as a dog, 6-0 against the spread as a dog this year, 8-1 on the road.
I
like that, the man. The Cards, no wonder the money's starting to pour here. And then you look at them, they're getting J.J. Watt back. Remember a couple of years ago when J.J. Watt came back to Texas, came back to Houston, and he didn't play too much because he had just gone back. I think it was, what, like a torn pec or a torn shoulder or something like that. But he made one really big-time play against Buffalo that turned around the entire game, and that's all they need out of J.J. Watt. Go out, you know, it's third down, pin your ears back, and rush the quarterback, whether you get a sack, a big sack, or you can try and force Matt Stafford to throw a pick, which he's been quite prone to do lately. He's got, what, 9 turnovers in his last 4 games? I think that can have a massive, massive impact in tonight's game. That Arizona pass rush, I think, is going to come through big.
Yeah, I mean, I would counter with the Rams, clearly, but Murray is so mobile. You know, I'm curious to see what Aaron Donald can bring tonight. And,
yeah,
you know, can you penetrate Von Miller? I think Ramsey on Hopkins clearly, but I've been reading also that the Rams are going to play a lot of zone. You know, so we'll see where Hopkins lines up. Like, he may move around the field a little bit, and I don't know how that's going to factor in.
He's done. He's out for the year. They don't even have
right,
and that might make you feel better. That's the thing. They don't have the greatest weapons. I mean, AJ Green's there. They've got this other kid who's kind of popped up. His name's escaping me right now, but he's kind of factored in the last couple of weeks. Rondell Moore is a second-round pick that they picked up. He's a bit of a gadget-type play. But really, I think the X-factor is going to be Kyler Murray. Like, this guy's going to have to make plays. He's going to have to foot the ball in the pockets. He's going to have to escape the pocket and probably going to have to, you know, get a bit of a run game going himself. I think Kyler Murray is going to be the biggest X-factor in this game to me.
Yeah, I think both quarterbacks ultimately. Yeah. I mean, we saw that over the course of the weekend. Like, that's... We had Herm Edwards on a couple hours ago, and he's like, it's about the quarterbacks. That's the league now. If you get the performance, you're going to have a chance to win. And if you don't, then really you have no shot, unless you just overwhelm the turnovers and overwhelm, you know, the run game. And that's what Pittsburgh was trying to do last night. They get that fumble 6 by T.J. Watt, and they're trying to hold on to Kansas City, and eventually it got to a point where it got away from them, and Pittsburgh just had nothing. You know, they just had nothing. Philly, the same thing. Like, Philly's, it's got to be a low-scoring game. It's got to be probably a one-possession game where your defense shows up, you move the chains. And I don't expect that to be the case tonight, though. I expect to see some fireworks. I think it'll be a fun game, and I'm on the Rams, and there's not much more I can do about it. I'm on the Rams, laying 4.
So. Al's brother, kind of, how are you feeling? What are you breaking down? Like, do you have a stroke of genius with a pick or a hazy misstep or just a little bit of a reflection on what happened yesterday and the day before and where we're at right now?
You mean from this past weekend that we go
just
down?
Like, you know, some things you did, selections you made, hazy B, taking advantage of them, just an overall reflection of where we're at.
Well, if you want to start with me, I think obviously back in the pads was not the best idea. But
Hazy will go to the grave saying that was ridiculous.
That's the only thing I have going for me right now.
It was ridiculous. And tell you what, I'll take this away from you, Hazy B. Should we tell him? Should we tell him, Mo?
Go ahead.
We took the Pats to ensure a Bills victory. We faded the Bills to ensure that they won the game. If you're asking me, I think Bills Mafia owes me an apology, or I think Bills Mafia, I should be a hero to Bills Mafia for taking the bullet and fading the Bills just to make sure that they won that football game on Saturday. And boy, did they win that football game on Saturday.
I think that's very charitable, brother. I mean, that's your region, right? You're in that Buffalo Niagara region. You need to be a man of the people down there. You don't need them throwing you through tables by cursing them. So I like the way you're thinking, and if that's the truth, then you are seeing the board at an absolutely epic level right now. And that was one hell of a performance that I enjoyed thoroughly. Like, I wouldn't compare it to the Bucks-Eagles game or the Chiefs-Steelers game because of the nature of the matchup, because of the elements, because it was against Belichick, where Belichick looks miserable if he's on the verge of winning a Super Bowl. He was miserable. He looked miserable. You knew he was miserable. He was so disappointed in his team. He called them out the next morning saying, we just had no compete, and you could see it.
Yeah.
Like, they had nothing going on either side of the ball. But for the Bills to put forth a performance where no punt, no field goal, no turnover, and perfect on fourth down, I don't think it's ever happened in playoff history. I mean, that's That's the kind of stuff you see in like Division III football, where you know, like Alabama's playing Eastern Louisiana State.
Right.
It's just it was such an ass kicking that it became that much more entertaining that you wanted to see Trubisky come out. The fans were so into it. It was so cool. You see Ryan Fitzpatrick in the stands with no shirt on too.
Oh yeah,
which is just and such
that
a great
was
cold.
Shot.
Yeah, it
God,
was crazy.
What the hell was he doing there?
Just being a fan.
Hey, Fitzmagic.
Yeah, as far as yeah. I know. I mean, he spent some time there, clearly, and he's still in the league. He's still kicking around, but he just decided to get up there. Someone must have asked him, like, will you take your shirt off for a pick? And he's like, done. And that's legendary status in Buffalo and Western New York. But I think that game next week, I mean, it's all about Kansas City-Buffalo, right? Like, that's
oh, yeah.
clearly the go-to. And we'll see what the grappler has in store. I guess he's going to go back to the hat, and he's going to pull names. And
we got to get a shake this time, though, right?
The Shakegate, I was so mad on Saturday with Shakegate and Whistlegate. Shakegate and Whistlegate jammed me up badly with that Bengals game, because that should have been blown dead. The whistle blew. I still can't understand how the Raiders didn't go postal and find the ref that blew the whistle. And didn't
yeah.
get some sort of an explanation. They just let it go. They just accepted defeat.
Well,
it was crazy. It was
so bizarre because I'm sitting. I did recall hearing the whistle live, and I didn't think anything of it. And then they bring in, I think it was Gene Steratore, and he's like, "Yeah, actually, that play should have been blown dead, and that shouldn't have counted."
10 minutes later,
what? Yeah, it's like nobody noticed at the time. It wasn't until like multiple replays later, and yeah, like 5-10 minutes later, they bring this up, and it's like, "Oh, that is a big mess up." It wasn't until the league came out and the league sent out a memo, and then they brought it up on the broadcast.
Right. It was like Drew Brees and Tirico wanted nothing to do with that controversy. They were dancing from that. And how about Troy Aikman just openly complaining?
Oh, my God. He was like, how about that game in Dallas? I should be doing that game.
I know.
Like, what the hell does that mean? You don't work in the same company.
Exactly. Like, clearly CBS won the coin toss or something. Like, I don't – because everything's been rejigged now because of the – expansion of the playoffs, and because ESPN is now in on the playoff weekend. So
right.
ESPN paid a fortune so that they could get playoff games and that they could get the Monday Nighter. NBC had the two games. But I guess Fox and CBS battle it out for, you know, Fox only had one game this weekend. CBS had the Saturday night in Buffalo, and then they had the game yesterday afternoon.
He was so pissed. He was like, yeah. He's like, you know, there's other games. And then Aikman goes, yeah, there is a game. Cowboys. I should be doing that game. And I was like, God, the stones to say that.
Like, I know.
Wouldn't be.
You know, some executive was like, I can't believe you just said
that. Well, Joe Buck put on like the gratuitous laugh, but you could tell he was thinking this is a little bit awkward, dude. Like,
yeah, what are you saying, guy? Yeah. What are you saying? That was a great game, though. I mean, that one right down to the bitter end, that Sanford. I thought Jimmy G was about to give that thing up.
He tried.
They tried. And then Dak was like, hold my beer. And then just randomly pulls a draw play with 8 seconds left in the game. Like, what was
But it's not
that?
Random, Al's brother. That was the play. Like, he didn't waste any time. Like, it was and the C parted for him. Like, he picked up the yardage. He just needed to drop probably a second or two earlier or find the ref.
Let's hear this Aikman clip. I think Kenny's got it.
Yeah,
Kenny,
we got it.
Fire it up.
That game coming up, which is on CBS, which is the Dallas Cowboys hosting the San Francisco 49ers. We saw San Francisco with that overtime win in L.A. last weekend. That's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a great game. A really good game. I think there's a lot of people that like to be calling that game. But should be a lot of fun.
That's the best.
Yeah, so bitter.
So what he's saying is Fox had an opportunity to grab that game is what you're telling me, right?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I find it hard to believe. They wouldn't take the 1 o'clock Eagles Bucks. So no one's avoiding the Dallas game if you get the pick. Like the Cowboys, we mentioned the Cowboys in the least, the comparison. The number one comparison is the ratings that they drive.
Oh, yeah.
There's no bigger
Everybody
draw.
Wants to watch the Cowboys, regardless of how good they are, man.
Yeah, there's no way Fox would turn it down. It just – maybe they lost a coin toss, or this year it went this way, and the next year it goes the other way. I'm not sure. Or CBS has it in his contract that they've got the 4 p.m. game, and maybe they got the pick, and as a result they took that game. I'm not sure. But it would lead you to believe that Aikman thought he had a legitimate crack at it, though, right? Like someone – like he did personally get screwed there. But anyway, All right, House Brother. Well, good luck tonight. You should be on the Cardinals plus three, but instead you're getting an extra point because I'm a nice guy. And you're on
so
the
we're
cards
on the
plus
cards
four.
Plus four.
You're on the Cardinals yeah. plus four tonight.
And yep. the game yeah. is in L.A.
Game is in L.A., and I don't know if Arizona travels. You know, like I would, there'll be Cardinals fans there for sure. But I wouldn't expect – I don't think the fans are going to factor into the game at all tonight.
Is it a full stadium? Is it a full stadium?
I would be sure. Yeah, based on, like, COVID protocols.
What did they figure out, Hazy,
yeah,
with the masks or whatever?
Yeah, the masks
are ongoing. Is there a problem there?
No, I think it's a packed barn. As far as I know, it's a full house.
Because about a month ago, there was that report about whether or not they might move the Super Bowl if there seems to be an issue with the COVID right. concerns. So I wasn't sure if it was going to be a packed barn or not.
I don't think that was about attendance. That was more about masking. And I think that was about the events kind of around the Super Bowl.
Right,
and
right.
what they can put on. But that seemed to have quieted down. I get the impression like they're moving forward in L.A. So we'll see, Al's brother. You're seeing the board very well. You even threw a bone to the Buffalo Bills and Bills Mafia. So obviously you'll be a saint down there in the Buffalo-Niagara region. And we'll see how it goes tonight. And we'll catch up with you, I'm sure, on the text chain about 5 minutes into the game this evening.
Might be hot tubbing it while I watch it on the Ooh. iPad too.
In the
Might
snow,
be
a
happening.
Tub in the snow with a ball game?
It's the first big snowfall. I think I got to try it out.
Okay.
I think I got to try it out.
Well, be relaxed and be in the game and keep us posted. Thank you, Al's brother.
All right. Enjoy the game, boys.
You got it. There's our buddy Al's brother. You'll hear him tomorrow on Leafs Lunch with Julia Tesheri. Every day at noon right here on TSN Radio, and Team Al Dog are on the Cardinals plus four tonight. That means speaking I'm on the Rams, and I need one tonight. I need
speaking
one.
Speaking of Aikman, like, can TSN not find a channel for us to be on TV? There's five.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, though, I guess,
with
all the
what?
Well, it's Martin Luther King Day, right? So you got basketball games going, you got hockey games going, you've got the Australian
hockey
Open
games.
Going.
We don't have the, we're not playing any hockey games.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have that answer for you.
Interesting stuff. What are they playing? Motoring 1985, the guy with the mustache checking out a Hyundai Pony?
It could be. In this type of weather, that's what you could be looking for. And how about Djokovic out of the Australian Open? Like, just
I told you before, where is that guy going to play?
I don't know. I don't know. And I was reading over the weekend that Australia, if they want to, they could make it a three-year ban. Like, he might get kicked out of the country for quite some time.
Yeah, and they will do that because they can't stand him that much. They'll do everything in their power.
Yep,
so he's not playing the U.S. Open either. God knows what other, like Wimbledon, God knows if he can play there. He's got to make a decision if he wants to break this record.
That's right. Yep. He's or if it's at Wimbledon, wherever he can play, if he can play the one spot, he's got to win. Like he's got to find a winner, whatever slam he can play in, he better be on his game.
You would almost think he gets vaxxed. I don't know how strongly he is against getting vaxxed.
I don't get that impression, man. Like, he seems to have his stake in the ground, and he's not going down that road. I think he's going to wait it out and hope that the world changes, and they change their view on all this. And
but if he's thinking about legacy-type stuff, he's got to be thinking Fed's probably done.
Yep. The Dow will get another French Open, you would think, the way he plays.
Yeah, but it's like he could probably own him and the other majors coming down for the next 3 or 4 years. And like, he could put a stake in the ground and say, I'm by far the greatest.
Absolutely he can, but you got to play. You know,
right.
You got to actually be there physically performing for that to happen. And it will not be happening down in Australia. All right, we'll come back and tee up the Raptors game of the Monday Nighter again. Recap a busy afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Take my
breath. All right, Raptors in action tonight. Down in Miami, taking on the Heat, but no Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry will not play tonight. And Miami's going to be up here in Toronto in a couple of weeks. I don't know if there's going to be people in the stands. I don't know if there'll be what's going to be happening up here in Toronto. And we got the Rams-Cardinals tonight. And I keep watching that Matsuyama-3-wood. I know we mentioned it about an hour and a half ago. But it is.
And it's just an incredible shot, man. And he, like, you feel bad for Henley, but it was like, okay, he's just going to get a par, make a birdie, or, like, all he needed to do was make a birdie coming down the stretch, and it kind of ends things.
Anywhere on the back. Yeah,
he could not do it.
He couldn't do it. Matsuyama missed a birdie putt on 16. He was so mad because that was to tie it up. And
yeah.
I think he felt at that point it was over. Like Henley was clearly going to close the door and didn't. I mean, they get to 18. Henley's chopping it around, coming out of the bunker. And
Dude, did Henley have to get his – I didn't watch the end, but did he have to get his golf ball in the hole and slash it around to make it official?
Yeah, he did, because they mentioned that on the telecast.
God.
That you, in a playoff, you can't play out a turn, because Henley was asking, I guess, on the way – like, I'm sure you've seen it. He skulls a sandwich over the green. Like, a PGA Tour player – on
Dude,
the
with
fairway,
100 yards is
does
outrageous.
Not skull a ball. He didn't even hit the green. It landed over the green. It was a shot that you would expect to see a Tam O'Shanter. Like, really, it was an awful shot.
And this is after a guy grabs a 3-wood from 278 and just stuffs it to 3 feet.
Yeah, and Henley basically knew he had to jar the shot. And not only did he not jar the shot, he didn't even hit the green. And at that point, Nota Begay and whoever else was out there on the course were saying that Henley, I believe, was asking the officials, like, can he just putt in so I'm done? You know what I mean? Like, he's going to tap in for eagle. What am I doing? And I guess he was given the Heisman. He said, you can't play out a turn in the playoff. You've got to finish. Because he even missed the, like, 8-footer, 10-footer for par.
Oh,
he blew that past and then had to tap in.
And, dude, 18 as a whole, like Chambly said it, it's like every guy on tour makes birdie there. Like, easiest hole on tour.
Yeah, you've got to. You got to hit the fairway, throw it up on the green, two-putt for birdie. Simple. Easy for us to say, but for pros, it is that basic. And Matsuyama, eagles 18, the playoff, Henley bogeyed it. It beat him by 3 in the playoff hole.
Yeah.
Crazy, man. Anyway. Raptors tonight, we'll see how that rolls. And Rams Cardinals, best of luck on that one tonight, buddy. Noodles will be back tomorrow. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings, enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m. Hazy B.
We'll chat then.